Today we encounter John, not the baptizer, Jesus' cousin, friend, and forerunner John, in the Gospel of John, is not a baptizer of Jesus, although he is of others. Rather, John is a witness to Jesus. Listen to these verses that pick up where we stopped just a moment ago. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." In the Gospel of John, John, not the baptizer, is not preaching and calling folks snakes, as in Matthew. He's not dunking people in the muddy river, like in Luke. He's not wearing funky clothes and eating insects, as we heard last week from Mark. Rather, on the far side of the Jordan, not Bethany that we're more familiar with, but the Bethany on the other side of the river, in the wilderness, from which his and Jesus and our ancestors crossed over that river and into the freedom of the promised land, John the witness recognizes Jesus. As Jesus approaches, John sees Jesus in multiple senses. He realizes, recognizes, bears witness to who Jesus is. John apprehends that Jesus is the light. The light is in Jesus and is Jesus. And then John bears witness to that light, to the presence of God in our midst. Generally speaking, things are different in the Gospel of John than in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John gives us a very different portrait of Jesus than we find in the other Gospels. From start to finish, John's Gospel presents a Jesus seen always through the lens of resurrection. The portrait of Jesus in John is of a Savior and Redeemer who never wavers, never struggles, never hesitates. So perhaps the Jesus depicted in John's Gospel doesn't need the reassuring and empowering words of belovedness from God, his Father, our Creator, that are recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Remember, in those other three Gospels, Jesus hears God's own voice saying to him, "You are my beloved child. I am well pleased with you." Whether the Jesus of John's Gospel needs affirmation or not, John, his slightly older cousin, gives it to him. John the witness declares, "This is the Lamb of God. This is the one I spoke of who comes after me yet ranks ahead of me because he existed before I did." That's a pretty good trick. It's a powerful thing to be recognized and affirmed for who we are. Has it ever happened to you? Has someone recognized what lights you up when you are talking about it or doing it and drawn that to your attention and said something like, "You come alive when you talk about that. You are so alive when you are doing that. It seems so well aligned with what your purpose in this life must be. Is there someone in your orbit who needs you to see them, to recognize them, to affirm them, to apprehend perhaps for them? My goodness, this seems like what you were made for. Does someone need that recognition from you? It's a powerful thing to be seen, to be recognized. Not to be recognized for achievements or attainments, so much as to be recognized for the unique persons that we are. With all our gifts and graces, with all our quirks and all our stuff. John the Witness bears witness to the light, capital L, to the presence of God in our midst. When you think of Christian witness, what comes to mind? Depending on your life experience, the background in which you were brought up, you might think of something very different from what John is doing. Does your mind go to calling out strangers on street corners or foisting gospel tracts upon folks whom you don't know? Some do call that witnessing, but we're talking about witnessing to the reality of God's presence in the context of relationship. How could we witness like John and give expression to the truth of our experience? By seeing others, yes. What else? We know we are not supposed to bear false witness. It's in the Ten Commandments, right? We're to tell the truth when we testify, whether that testimony is in court or at the dinner table. We're not to call injustice justice, not to call injury non-injury, not to call falsehood the truth. Bearing false witness is those things. It's also refusing to see or to acknowledge the presence of God in our midst. If we look at the world or any of our fellow humans with contempt, if we demonize or dehumanize people with whom we disagree, we bear false witness. Because God loves this beautiful and broken world and everybody in it, whether we like them or not. And God has planted deep in the DNA of creation seeds of beauty and benefit. These seeds, both literal and metaphorical, germinate in the good earth and in her creatures, including us. They grow in the deep darkness of this Advent season and come forth into light as expressions of the light. They produce all manner of fruit, from the beauty of the planet to countless forms of human expression. Bearing witness to the goodness of God is giving expression to this beauty, this presence, and acknowledging the expressions created by others. So I'm saying, painting, poetry, pottery, architecture, music, literature, dance, woodworking, gardening, cooking, relaxed conversation, a space for prayer, offering hospitality and kindness, bearing one another's burdens, and on and on and on, are witnessing to the presence of God in our midst. All of these bear witness. All of these are testimony. It doesn't matter if our testimony is aesthetically pleasing to anyone including ourselves. If you're saying, I like poetry, but I'm a terrible poet, who cares? It's not whether or not it's great or publishable or whether you can make a living doing it. It's rather that you notice God present, that I notice God present, and then we give expression to that. And strengthened by that awareness, we are able to move through this world which God made, which God loves so much, in a kinder and more gracious manner. Experience with the living Christ should make us kinder and stronger and gentler and bolder, not make us meaner and sharper and harsher and more judgmental. Experience of the living God in the person of Jesus the Christ empowers us for better living, for less bifurcated and binary living, and for more both and living. Yes, life is messy and complex, and there is joy in living it as God's gift to us. As many of you have probably guessed by now, one of my favorite poets is our sister Episcopalian Mary Oliver of blessed memory. In her poem, Sometimes, published in 2008, Mary Oliver sums up bearing witness this way. Instructions for living a life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it. As every Advent Sunday morning, I invite you this morning to rest in the beauty of this sacred space. It bears witness to the beauty and presence of God in our midst. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it. However you tell it, bear witness to the good, good news of God in our midst. Amen.